This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
This hour brought to you by A1 Heating and Air. Stay cool and comfy this summer with A1 Heating and Air Conditioning. Visit A1Heating.com.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Good morning. David Allen in for the vacationing Paul J. He will be back on Tuesday, his normal day to be back. Mm-hmm. Chris Walton here in the next title studio with me, Todd of 1D, pushing all of the buttons. Venus Williams wins the first set, 6-4. Just kind of keep everybody up to date on that.
Yeah, you're talking Wimbledon.
Yeah, sorry.
All right.
Just because anytime there's an American and she has a chance at, I think she's 38, isn't she? She has a chance to win another title?
Around that.
Big
fan.
Which
in tennis is...
ancient.
It is. You're practically a senior citizen in tennis if you're 38.
All right. This is an article from USA Today today.
Okay.
Cash or something close to it is king again. Enjoying a steady job market but reluctant to spend freely due to economic uncertainty, a wide swath of middle-class Americans are hoarding money in banks. Total bank deposits...
Hoarding?
Hoarding.
Okay.
Total bank deposits rose 6.6% last year to $10.7 trillion, extending steady growth seen in recent years, from the federal FDIC show.
But not savings accounts?
No, checking accounts.
Really?
Deposits measured as a percentage of bank assets are 77.6% in the first quarter of 2017, the highest since 2006, according to data economic research from Moeb Services.
Mm-hmm.
The Americans love... Oh, hang on a second. What happened? The Americans love liquidity. They hold about $2 trillion in checking accounts now, says Mike Moebs,
okay,
the CEO.
Okay, so yeah, that's liquidity then, money you can use right now.
Yes.
It's not something of value. I mean,
it's not in an IRA.
Yeah, it's not a possession of value. It's not an investment. It's just money you can get and use right now. Okay.
The U.S. average checking account deposit is about $3,600, climbing from $1,000 in 2007.
Wow.
Much of deposit growth surely has to do with a resilient U.S. economy, which is really good. 2008 was a really bad year for, what would you guess, 2008 to 2012?
That's when the housing bubble burst, as they say.
In a U.S. economy that continues to expand from the depths of the financial crisis, steady paychecks are the industry's best friend. Obviously, that goes almost without saying.
Oh, they're a lot of our best friends,
Incomes are up and people are choosing to deposit their money rather than increase spending, says Paul Mirsky, a group executive vice president of congressional relations and strategy for the Independent Community Bankers of America.
Okay.
A dearth of investment options is also driving the hoarding behavior. Only about half of Americans are invested in the stock market, according to Gallup.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that has to do with the fact of the uncertainty of the stock market.
Now, do you want to get personal?
Sure.
Okay. Are you invested in the stock market?
Well, in a roundabout way, I am, because my 401k is all in the stock market.
Okay, same with me. My 401k is in the stock market, but mine's, all over the place.
Sure.
But when
Let's
put it this way. When the stock market goes way up, I have more money in my 401k.
Yes. And after 2008, I had a lot less money in my 401k.
Yeah, and vice
401k.
Versa.
Yeah, I almost lost half
but basically
of my 401k.
But basically, that's just, that's a retirement savings, and it's through here.
Yes.
So.
And so to answer your question, yes, I do, but no, I'm not in the stock market. Mm-hmm. I don't sit every day and go, I need to buy this stock. I need to look at that stock.
I have a relative who took $20,000 because she had $20,000 and for years has been playing with it on E-Trade.
Oh, see.
And has never lost it, never lost the initial investment, did well at the beginning and has gone up and down, but has never gone below $20,000, but apparently just does it for fun.
Well, to me, that would be a win, by the way.
I would love to be able to just play around and for fun with $20,000.
Yeah.
At the moment, no.
And I would take that as a win, and the reason for that is I think of the stock market, and I know it's not an apples-to-apples thing. Mm-hmm. I think of the stock market as going to Vegas. It's a gamble.
A little bit.
Not a lot, but a little bit.
There's no Wall Street Journal for a slot machine, so it's a little bit different.
No, but if you're playing cards, you obviously know as you're looking at
Yeah, there's a certain
situations.
Amount of, there is a certain amount of skill, but it's also a lot of luck.
And
yeah.
And so to me, a win ends up when I come out, if I go in with $100 to a casino and I come out with $100, I think of that as a win.
Mm-hmm.
What, no matter what I've done, if I've been up and down at the tables,
yeah,
whatever.
Because that's free entertainment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas, and so I'm saying, for the example you just gave, they had $20,000, they started playing in the stock market, and they haven't lost that $20,000. So that's a win, even if it's only $20,000 and $1.
Right.
Are people...
What's that like, by the way, to go into a casino with $100?
It's pretty fun.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I can only do it about every 4 years, because it takes me 4 years to save $100.
I've gone to jackpot with like $5.
Do you jackpot out? With $5?
You want to rephrase that in some way?
Nope. I'm just going to go with that.
No, I usually pay penny slots until it's gone.
All right. I played penny slots in Vegas as we were getting ready to leave.
I'm not a big gambler.
I won $17 in the penny slots.
Oh, wow.
That was the best. That's the best I did when the last time I went to Vegas, by the way, was the penny slots at the airport.
Mm.
I should have just stayed there. I should have slept on the floor and stayed there, and I could have won a lot of money.
Can you do that?
No.
Oh.
My question for everybody and for you when we come back from the break, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. A, are you a money hoarder to some or an entire extent? And are you doing it because 2008 is so fresh in your brain? And you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I'm not going to get caught with my pants down again. Because we all know it's coming. It's just, when is it coming? And I'll give an example of my mentality when I come back.
Gotcha.
But at 8:45,
back now to David and Chris.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
All right, it's good that you're listening at this time. 8:50 right now at 670 KBOI. The 102nd annual Snake River Stampede coming July 18th through the 22nd at the Ford Idaho Center in Nampa. Here's the deal. Family four-pack, free 100% to you if you're the sixth caller right now at 336-3711. That's 336-3711. And the good folks here at 670 KBOI, along with the Snake River Stampede, we have a family four-pack of tickets. We'll get you out there. You'll be able to see the Stagecoach. You'll be able to see the Buck and Brock. You'll be able to see all that great stuff, and it's a lot of fun. Great family entertainment. Be the sixth caller right now at 336-3711. Here's, before I go to Jim in Boise, Jim, hang on, we're going to come to you in 1 second. Here's my example. If I lived on the Carolinas or the East Coast where there's a hurricane,
yeah,
and I had $1 million in artwork, and I saw on the channel that there was a hurricane coming, you can be one of two people. You can either say, there's no way the hurricane's ever going to hit my house, and so I'm just going to stay right here and hunker down. It'll be fine.
Right.
Or you can be the guy that says, there's no way the hurricane's not hitting my house, and I'm taking all my artwork out and moving. So I guess that's my question. Do you think people are hoarding their money because they know another downturn's coming? It just depends. It could be 1 year or 50 years. But we know it's coming because it's happened. So are people hoarding their money because 2008 is so fresh in everybody's mind?
I think so.
That they just don't want to take that chance.
There was a time when a majority of your people hoarded money anyway.
Yes.
And by hoarded, I simply meant they spent it wisely or they were thrifty.
Yep.
And they always, you know, made sure that they had a little in reserve.
Yes.
And there's been kind of a whole generation, and unfortunately a lot of them are about the same age as us, who simply decided, you know, I'm going to go as far as I want to into debt because it's not a big deal. I can always just pay it off.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden something happens, and they're like, well, what are you talking about?
How am I supposed to get out of this?
Exactly.
All right, let's go to the phones. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. Jim in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today, sir?
Morning, David. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you very much for calling in.
Well, I tuned in a little bit late, but I heard you say, for instance, we all know it's coming. Now, when relating to apparently the stock market, that sounds like a Great Depression, and that is BS, pure BS.
I'm sorry, Jim. Let me clear it up. I'm not talking about specifically the stock market. I'm talking about an economic downturn, when the housing bubble burst, or remember back in the 80s, it was like a Black Monday when the stock market just crashed.
There are always those things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Diversify. Now, my grandparents, and I lived in New Mexico. I'm from New Mexico all my life. My grandparents lived through a couple of world wars and a depression, and they didn't believe in that whatsoever. But I believe in diversify. I believe in the economy. the stock market in large measure measures the economy. Don't put all your money in it. You could use the old saying, don't, if you want to use the word gamble, don't gamble with what you can't afford to lose.
Of course, and the old saying, don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Right. Yeah. Now, if the economy crashes, we've all had it.
Yes.
I mean, you know, whether, I mean, you can't run the gold, you can't run anywhere if the economy goes down. But it's not like, you know, don't hoard, for heaven's sake. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's stupid.
Because you got a situation where just before the Great Depression, people were hoarding, and then the banks just closed, and your money was gone.
Well, the Great Depression in the 20s, people were idiots. They were buying on margin.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They were buying stocks with nothing down. That's kind of like the housing thing.
Yes.
Buy a house. Don't put anything down.
Yeah.
That's not intelligent by any means. So don't do that. You know, only, if you want to use the word gamble again, only gamble with equity. If you've got the money, do it. If you can afford to lose it, hunky-dory. But don't do it all the way.
Yeah.
All right, Jim. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate you checking in.
And that, you know, that was the point I was making about that relative of mine.
Yeah.
Who essentially plays the stock market with $20,000. Well, it was $20,000 saved specifically just to play the stock market with. And I mean, and you know, more power to her. And if you've got a certain amount of money and you want to, you know, gamble it in that manner, that's completely up to you.
Yep.
But, you know, there are plenty of people who just think, why not just keep the $20,000 and that way there's no risk of losing it. Well, again, nothing ventured, nothing gained, but also nothing lost. So you can't steal second with your foot on first. I could go through every cliche there is.
Exactly. Let's do this one. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
There we go, too.
There we go. Yeah. Two things. First of all, I like the phrase hunky-dory. Mm-hmm. You don't hear that very often anymore. So thank you for that, Jim. Second, Charlie Bruner wins the four-pack of tickets to the Snake River Stampede. Listen this afternoon to Nate Shellman between 3 and 7 as he has another family four-pack to give away.
Well done.
I don't think that I'm hoarding money. Well, I know that I'm not because I don't have any money.
Yeah,
to
I was going
to
say, I don't really have a pile large enough to call a hoard, so no.
But I, in all honesty here, I will tell everybody that after I moved to Boise, I filed for bankruptcy because I was an idiot with my money in Texas. I was not smart. And so what I do now is while
way,
I don't...
Let's put it this way. You're probably not the only one who was.
Certainly.
Okay.
Certainly.
Yeah.
And so I don't...
Because there was an oil boom and bust as well. Yeah.
I don't hoard my money. I'm just smarter with my money now.
Okay. Well done.
To where I used to buy everything that I wanted, and I just bought it. I didn't care if I actually needed it. If I wanted it, I bought it.
Right.
That's a bad lifestyle to go through because then you have to declare bankruptcy.
Exactly.
So, but now I just buy things that I actually need. Not that I want.
Exactly.
And I've downsized my life, and I'm happier for it. That's just me.
Good advice. More to come. We're talking about money. Do you have any? Do you want some?
Brought to you by A1 Heating and Air. Stay cool and comfy this summer with A1 Heating and Air Conditioning. Visit A1Heating.com.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
907, welcome back to the show. We're talking finances here and people hoarding money. This is from a USA Today article today. I wanted to read one more thing here before we went back to the phones real quick. And my next question for everybody is... If you're not hoarding money, but if you're saving money for the rainy day, how much is enough?
Yeah, that's a good point.
What's your number?
Now,
if you're a person who wants to have savings and or money in your checking account, how much is enough for you to go, I'm comfortable now, or I feel safe and secure with this number?
That is a good question.
Yeah.
You know, and
because it's different for everybody.
I stop reading those things that tell you how much you need to have saved to have a good retirement because, they were just depressing. But essentially, well, Debbie and I both have kind of gotten to a point where we don't go out and buy ourselves anything anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, ever.
Yeah.
We still buy gifts, you know, when there are appropriate holidays and things like that, but we don't really go out to dinner.
Sure.
We don't, you know, she doesn't buy any new clothes. I don't buy any new clothes. Well, you know, you've known me how long? Have I ever bought any new clothes in that 6 years?
Okay, not a one.
I haven't.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, we don't, unless something really breaks that we really need, we don't even worry about it. We just don't go out and do stuff anymore so much. And part of that is simply because we, you know, we want to have a little in reserve if we possibly can. And definitely, you know, don't want to get behind on the bills or something like that. So,
a couple of things from this article. While saving is deemed a personal finance virtue, would-be shoppers holding tightly onto their budgets can also be a drag on the economy. U.S. consumer spending was relatively flat, up only 0.1% in May, the latest data from the Commerce Department shows. Retail and auto sales also have been sluggish. And I will tell you, from this building's personal outcome, the amount of advertising we got from car sales last year versus car sales this year is down about 30%.
Wow.
And consumers are not spending. The Great Recession isn't over for consumers and small businesses. Small businesses feel a great deal of uncertainty, and they're being very cautious, especially with any capital plans they have. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. Let's go back to the phones. Terry in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you guys doing?
We are doing well. Thank you for calling in.
Some of us who follow economics pretty closely, I watch all the shows on Saturday morning, we know and remember that when Greece fell, the government went in and took everything out of savings. So, you know, we just don't put very much in our savings accounts anymore, but sometimes it's in checking and stuff. It's like we're rolling in dough or anything. The other thing that's kind of creepy is Obamacare wrote into it that the government has, that's why they hired 16,000 IRS agents. The government has access into all of our checking and savings accounts, both. So I'm sure they're trying to work on something about that.
Very frightening. It's very frightening. Do you have a magic number, Terry, that you would feel safe if you had X number of dollars in your checking account?
Well, they always say to have at least on hand 3 months of, not necessarily in savings or checking, but sometimes in cash, 3 months of living expenses. But you're right. I mean, if there's a monster crash, it'll be, there's always surprises, and we won't know exactly how it'll pan out. It'll be totally different than anything in history before, because we're all more interdependent now with other nations. So let's just pray that doesn't happen. And they've always predicted it'll happen. They kept predicting it, you know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And so maybe it won't.
All right, Terry, thanks for calling in today. We appreciate it. Have a great Wednesday. Holy smokes. Have a great Thursday, too. Josh in Boise.
Have a nice July.
Josh in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
Hi, guys. Dave, I always like it when you're around. I'll always say that. Welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. So I don't know if I hoard money, but I think you guys are alluding to it. I don't like to look at by the time I'm age whatever, I should have this much in, in savings. But years ago, my wife and I, we established a budget, and every single raise I've received since then, we haven't increased that budget. So all that money over the last 15 years in raises has been, we don't spend it.
It's so wise. That sounds very wise, yeah.
So now in my checking account, I have over 150 grand just sitting there. I mean, it's just, it's not like we're hoarding it. I think my wife would like to buy like a fixer-up house type thing. Mm-hmm. So we kind of are saving for that type of thing. But it just happened, you know. It's not like I was, the 2007, 2008 crash, we got to start saving money. But it just kind of happened, and now there's just this money sitting there, and it's almost like a burden in the fact that it's just sitting there.
Sure. So,
anyhow.
Josh, before you go, can you give me your checking account number and the routing number real quick,
please? Yeah. Let me send that over to you.
Hey, thanks for listening, man. I appreciate you calling in.
Yes, take care.
Federal
I wasn't
offense.
Kidding. I wasn't kidding. I need your checking account number, Josh. You got 150 grand. I can do something with that. I will tell you, I don't have $150,000 in my checking account, but I'm at a point now that I have a number that I don't feel secure in. I feel safer in.
Right. Bob says, Chris, I don't know what the safe amount of money is. But people who live within their means need much less. And that is true.
100% agree.
You know, I mean, when you start not buying things and not going shopping a lot, I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, mess up the economy here
by telling
people to do that. But when you start not doing it, you realize there are things you do not miss at all.
Yes. Well, and speaking of shopping, from this article again from USA Today about all the reasons people are hoarding money and the economy slowing. High debt obligations are also affecting household spending decisions. Total household debt balances.
That's a good point. If you owe a lot of money, you probably aren't spending much because you already owe it.
So the economy rose 0.1%. Total household debt balances rose by 1.2% in the first quarter from the previous quarter to $12.73 trillion. That's 11th consecutive. That's the 11th consecutive quarter of growth and surpasses the peak of $12.68 trillion seen in the third quarter of 2008.
Yeah.
So they're hinting back to 2008.
But it's like, yeah, it's like you said, people who have gone through a downturn and, you know, didn't do well. are they're planning for the next one, assuming that there will be one, and there usually has been at some point.
Better safe than sorry. Just because I know the plane isn't going to crash usually doesn't mean I'm not listening to what the flight attendants are telling me.
Doesn't mean you don't have your seatbelt on.
About where my seatbelt should be and where my flotation device is. All right, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon wireless. We're talking finances and your checking account and what is your safe number to have as you move forward. It's 914. It's David and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. 920 KBOI rewards code is checking. C-H-E-C-K-I-N-G. Checking.
American spelling.
Yes. Yeah. We're not going with the British spelling today for some reason.
No Q's in that word.
Go to KBOI.com, enter the keyword checking, you will get your 5,000 rewards points, and immediately all of your banking information will come to me. That's a joke. I kid about all those things.
Well, I'm going to guess that you wouldn't get a lot of entries.
That's probably true.
H.G. McCall says, you're saying that people who have savings for whatever are hoarding. I don't think any but the super rich have enough money to hoard. That whole idea of hoarding has become very trending. Having enough money for the hard times is a good idea.
Here's the thing. The article has nothing to do with savings.
Yeah,
it has everything to do with your checking accounts.
Right.
That's where they're saying you're hoarding it in the checking. Because if you put it in savings, you're usually making money off that. So you're not hoarding it because you're making money on it.
True.
But it's very rare in your checking account that you make money on it like a savings account.
What is it, up to like 0.03% or something?
So teeny tiny, it's not even possible.
I'll finish the thought here. HG says, I wish I just had enough to have a good savings for the hard times. Taking a trending term like hoarding makes people question themselves, which takes them away from seeing reality. David, thanks for your story of how you had money problems and changed your lifestyle. Good going. Okay, and that is a good story.
I learned my lesson.
Yeah, exactly. And the best thing you can do when a lesson is presented to you is actually learn it.
Saving,
there's nothing wrong with saving at all. Saving your money is a good thing.
Yes.
It's just that people who in the past have normally gone and spent in a normal way, they are curtailing even a lot of normal spending.
Yes.
And, going without certain things on purpose. And again, if you live within your means, fantastic. Yep. It's a terrific way to do it. You're not going to probably go broke. You're not going to, probably have too many hard times. You'll always have something in reserve. But what they are simply doing is leaving the money sitting there that they used to use or invest as well. And like, the caller who said it was Josh, he said he had $150,000 in the checking account.
Yep.
Waiting to do something with it.
And he actually feels guilty having that in there. Yeah, when it's not, there's nothing to be guilty about.
Yeah, but not currently doing anything with it.
You know, and so that's what it is. I mean, if save all the money you want to save. But like you say,
let me say this.
$50,000 in our checking account. Let's go buy swimming pool.
I understand the guilt feeling only because of this. If tomorrow I found out I had $150,000 in my account, I would be guilty of something.
Yes. Stealing the $150,000.
More than I wasn't going to say it, but it's okay.
Well, it's best that we do. We need to get it out there and be honest with everybody. So, HG, it goes from one extreme to the other. Everybody who used to have zero in their checking account or literally, you would see it sometimes on the internet. They would say, this is my checking account. It would like say $6.43.
Or it has this month's expenses in it. And that's it. Yeah,
exactly. You go from that to going from
there are people
never who, spending.
Yeah.
Both are bad.
There are people who have given up on savings accounts. And what they do is put their entire check into their checking account. And essentially, if they have any leftover, terrific, they leave it there.
Yes.
If they don't have any leftover, well, that's typical
too. Stinks, and we'll try to pay this bill later.
Exactly.
So, and I will tell you
maybe we'll go back to the time when people knew how to do stuff.
Yeah. to finish up on that with HG and my situation
right.
was saying is that I will tell you that I don't know that I've ever seen a credit score so low in my life. But now I've gotten out from underneath it all.
Somebody out there has to have a zero.
Yeah, somebody has to. And I wasn't zero, I will tell you that. But
right.
holy smokes, it was low. But I've gotten out from under that. And now because I've gotten out from under that, mm-hmm. I'm actually able to move forward. But
yeah,
wowee, did I have... It was bad, man.
And and time and correcting, you know, the way you do yeah. things does make a difference.
Sometimes just living the single life, not always really responsible.
Dave of Boise says, I was able to put some money away for the first time in my life. Then I got charged all the Obamacare extortion fines and no longer have any of the savings I had saved up and will now be saving my money to pay the next fine because I will never participate in Obamacare and there will be a point I will no longer pay and I will sit in jail if necessary. Okay, that's kind of hardcore, I think. I wish they could at least decide to put an instant stop to the fine to us folks that already can't afford the insurance in the first place. I don't understand the logic at all to fine us. It's really a huge slap to the face for people in the same boat I am in. I know there are millions of us, and we are being ignored. I don't think you're being ignored right now. I think that the Senate is trying to figure out what to do about you because they are doing the opposite of ignoring you. At least some of them are.
And all the bills I've seen, while they've been flawed... all of them do away with that fine if you don't want to if you don't want to opt in.
Yeah.
And that's why it even came out this morning and you and I talked about it in the national news where the CBO said that the last bill had 23 million Americans who would either opt out or not be able to afford the insurance.
And here's,
opting out is a big part of that.
This would be cruel and this would be bad and I don't see this ever happening. But you know the system would work if it were, like I said, there are two ways the system to work. Either it's got to be completely capitalist or completely socialist.
Yes.
Those are the two ways it would work. Either the government pays for everything or nothing. You are on your own. But the only way that would work, it's the same way with a store. You don't go into a store and say,
some people do.
With government help, you do.
Yeah.
But you don't go into a store if you're a completely capitalist society and say, I'd like to have some stuff. I don't have any money. Can I just have it and go?
Yeah.
Because the store owner would say, well, no, that kind of messes up the whole system. The system would work if we were willing to say that, okay, you get into an accident, and if you don't have insurance or money, then we don't treat you. You just die or bleed to death or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know...
you just can't...
We tend...
Human beings just can't kind of do that.
We tend to be a tad more humane than
that. Yeah.
However, you know, like when it comes to a piece of...
at the bottom line.
Like a piece of... a furniture store is a good example.
Yeah.
Can I have a free couch? No, you can't. All right, I'll go to the next store.
Yeah, and we'll see until somebody says yes.
Yeah.
Or I'll come back to you and buy it.
Eventually, you will find one on the sidewalk somewhere.
Yes, you will. It'll probably be mine because I'm getting ready to put them out there.
All right.
926, too many dog hairs. 926, news with Rick Worthington is next on 670 KBOI.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
937, welcome back to the show. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. Just want to wrap up this article before we go to your instant messages.
Okey-doke.
Bountiful customer deposits also likely helped boost large banks' incomes, and the rising numbers will be reflected in a slew of bank earnings reports due in the next few days. Banks also stand to benefit from a, quote, reasonable rise in interest rates. Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen told Congress yesterday that the central bank plans to keep raising its key short-term rate. As interest rates rise, the spread in the rates between what they earn in loans issued and the interest paid to deposit customers also increases.
Okay. That's the part I was going to ask about.
If banks can make more spread, they may also make more loans.
Maybe.
Exactly. As he said may. But
in the same way that if a rich person makes more money, they might create more jobs.
And but
they might not.
Immediately goes back to the $12 trillion in debt that people are maybe in. So,
well, there's that.
Yeah.
Dave, again, of Boise, he says, I am very happy to hear all the plans to do away with the fine. However, I am still being told I have to pay the fine as of right now and have, in fact, already paid it. Well, it hasn't been repealed yet, which is part of the thing. Let's go with half the country is probably complaining about it. The other half's probably not. I don't know exactly the percentages.
Yeah.
I would like to see a plan that would reimburse me the money I have already paid in and received nothing for. I would also like to know if all the plans do away with the fine, then why can't they all at least agree on that?
That's a very good point.
One thing and pass it through ASAP. Well, and both the president and Mitch McConnell have said that same thing. You know, how about if we don't pass anything, we at least repeal some of this?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, of course, other people say no.
Yeah, we're going to do this.
There are many opinions.
Yeah. Well, not all of them well thought out.
Well, some. Yeah. Some aren't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, let's see. Patrick wrote in to say, I don't understand why the car dealerships are whining about sales. If I go buy a new four-wheel drive truck, the payment will be more to my than my house payment. It's not hard to exercise fiscal discipline and spend within your means. With the exception of my house, I have no debt. I have several cars, a boat, motorcycle, and airplane, not bad, all of which are paid for. I didn't pay cash for them, but I only bought what I could afford. Chris uttered the key term need. Thank you. Too many people today buy all the things they want and then have no money for the things they need. It's okay, though. Just put it on the credit card. And again, credit cards are a little different than like even loans. Let's put it this way. If you're ever getting a credit card, check and see if you can get a better one with a better rate, because some of the easiest ones to get out there, and I don't want to say that it's predatory lending, even though it is, but this is what they do to college kids, is they convince them that they can get a credit card, and then they give it to them, and it's like, you know, 27% interest or something.
Yep, that's what you get.
And then pretty soon you've bought $50 worth of stuff and owe them $1,000, and you're going, what now? How did this happen?
And the thing is, there are websites now.
And Patrick, by the way, he wrote back to say, I also have $50,000 in my checking.
Nice.
That's just fine.
There are also websites where you can go and look at credit cards and do the, you know, so you can decide what credit card is best for you. You enter the information you have, how much money you make, what your payments are, and they'll say,
Here is a good idea. And this is why people have financial advisors and things like that. But if you can't afford a financial advisor, you know, study, compare, you know, do your due diligence. Let's put it that way. Before you make any big financial decisions, because big financial decisions, if made improperly, what's the term when a dog has hold of your? Yeah, never mind. Anyway, okay. They can bite you someplace or any place. Bob Meridian says, "Hey guys, I get 2.5% on balances up to $10,000 on my checking from CapEd."
Credit unions always give better rates than banks do. Usually,
There are easy to accomplish requirements, but over $20 per month interest earned makes me happy.
Sure.
Well, yeah.
Sure. Understood.
$20 is $20.
All right. 336-3700. Let's go to Mark in Eagle. Mark, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Hey guys, pretty good. Hey, I had called in earlier in the year, last year, just before 10.
I remember that.
Yeah. And, you know, I ran through this myself. My wife's worked for the school district in West Ada for the past, going on probably 18 years. And being self-employed and my income level, here in the state of Idaho, I believe it is 9.1%. If it exceeds that of your income for to get insurance, then you can get a form that, you know, but here's the catch. Okay, because my wife's, it would have been almost 19%, about almost $700 a month for me. Now, I've got my gallbladder, my tonsils. I don't smoke, so knock on wood, I've been healthy, exercise, things like that. Okay, so I get the runaround from going to the Idaho Marketplace of what I'm supposed to do. Well, I ended up going to go to Health and Welfare. I spent, guys, an hour and a half on the phone telling all my personal information to a lady working for Health and Welfare just to come to find out that all that does is see if I could qualify when I already told them ahead of time that I don't qualify because of the fact that if you have a spouse that can provide you insurance through their workplace, and here's the thing, the federal government will not acknowledge or see, they don't care the fact that it exceeds that. So what I end up doing, in other words, I have to go back to the Idaho Marketplace is busy telling me, well, okay, you're going to end up having to fill out Form 8965, which a gentleman early in the year said he did that and hasn't had to pay the last couple of years. And I had called and said, no, they tell you that's for the states that aren't in. And we have our own setup here, right, in the state, like about 14 other states. Well, come to find out after all said and done, yeah, you do have to fill out that form if you want to get not fined for it.
Those cops in the back aren't coming for you, are they, Mark?
I'm sorry, sir?
The cops behind you that I hear, they're not coming for you, are they?
No.
I just wanted to check to see how long we were going to go here. So.
Yeah, the good old feds. No, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't pay it last year. And they accepted my tax return, but I'm going to send it probably a delayed deal through my CPA for this form 8965, and I will file that this year. But I believe you have to have some proof as to why you can explain as to why it's exceeding your ability to pay based on, because here in the state of Idaho, it's 9.1%. The federal government, for the states that opted onto the federal end of it, it's 8.4% of your total income. And that's combined with your wife or your spouse in this case. So I meet both criteria, and I'm sure a lot of people out here in Idaho who have had to pay that fine might find out they do not have to pay that fine.
All right, Mark. Thanks for the info. We appreciate it, brother. Alrighty. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
I still say the cops were coming for him. and that form 4985, that's... Ooh, that's quite a form.
Well, it's a lot of numbers.
I know.
You don't know anything about
it. Of course, I don't know anything about form 4985.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Omaha. Yeah, okay.
Anyway, 944-336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. One last segment to come on 670 KBOI.
We'll explain coming up on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
Last few minutes of the show this morning, sponsored by the good folks at Traffic Text Alerts. Don't get stuck in traffic this summer. Like today at 100 degrees, it's too darn hot for that. Get Traffic Text Alerts from 670 KBOI. All you have to do is text the word DRIVE, D-R-I-V-E, to 67664. And the alerts come right to your smartphone. It's easy. Traffic Text Alerts from Right Now Traffic and 670 KBOI.
Dave, one last time from Boise, wrote in to say, so if there are that many people saying, no, we do not want that, then why is it still happening? Watch the news, Dave.
There's a lot of things government does.
Congress,
where people say, Congress, we don't want that.
Congress negotiates everything. Rich people tend to get what they want more than poor people, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, what happened to the people being able to tell our government what we want? Supposedly they still can, but that's the way it was always meant to be.
Yeah.
Which is Carly Simon, right? And that's the way I've always heard it should be. I have not seen it actually happen in my 50 years on this planet. President Donald Trump said he is putting us in control of our government. I am still waiting for that to happen. They all say that. He might be telling the absolute truth. I don't know. I'm not going to judge. But they all say that.
You hear this from everybody who, not everybody, you hear this from a lot of people who go to Washington in government. They have they have all these great ideas and they run on this campaign of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And then they get to Washington and they had no idea.
Yeah.
How ingrained everything is.
One guy described it. It's like if you went to work and they gave you a whole bunch of things to do and said, okay, now, but first you have to get out of this room that's locked from the outside and you have to get out of the straitjacket to do that.
Exactly. And good luck doing all of that. Exactly. To get anything through.
Gary of Emmett says, Dear Chris and David, my safe amount depends. I have Social Security and a state pension from California. I have enough monthly income to live. But if those funds were cut off, 3 months of them would not be security. With my home equity, I could sell my house for whatever it would be worth and live on that for a while. But under a huge amount of money would not give me a secure feeling. Exactly. No security on earth or in this life could actually do that, by the way. I'm thinking short of what Warren Buffett has.
Yeah, or winning. If I won, here's the thing. If I won $1 million in the lottery, and which means after taxes, I'd get anywhere from $500,000 to $600,000.
You'd be good.
I'd feel pretty secure.
Okay.
I honestly would. If I had $600,000 in my checking account, I'd feel pretty darn secure.
That's great. And I believe you. I believe that, you would spend it wisely. However, there are plenty of people who win $1.7 million, $3 million, stuff like that, even up to $10 million in the lottery, and they blow it.
Yeah. No, without a doubt.
And they really don't mean to.
Nope.
It just happens.
It just spins out of control. Well, we talked the other day about Levon Hernandez, made $53 million in his lifetime in baseball.
Doesn't have any of it
left. Just declared bankruptcy.
Well, and... Now I'm blanking on his name. He used to play for the Celtics. Anyway, he played for the Stampede for 2 years. Number 8.
I'll think of it as we go to Randy in the Magic Valley. Randy, you're on 670 KBOI.
Okay, you talk about going to Washington to do your job. You're in a straitjacket in a room that's locked from the outside. Yeah. It's like a vault. you're going to die in there.
Yeah, well, there you go.
This is the thing. when we talk about Illinois, we talk about Greece, we talk about California, they're broke on their butt. And they continue to do the things that they've always done because they don't have the will to save themselves. You know, when Greece went broke, I think it was Iceland was broke too, and they decided to change the way they did things. I could be wrong about Iceland. I don't know. It was a different some country. But if you look at them now, the country of Iceland is doing great and has changed the direction of their country.
Yeah.
And the people decided that they knew that the reality was, you know, the reality that you and I live with. You see, how does a country go broke? How do you file bankruptcy if you're a state or a country? I don't know. We just continue to get away with it. But you see, when we're this broke, $20 trillion in debt, unfunded mandates up to, $150 trillion? I mean, when people don't even know what the hell $1 trillion is, they can't even fathom it. And we talk about it every day like it means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you know, in order for this thing to work, our founding fathers felt that the people actually needed to know something. Take it upon yourself to figure things out, people. But you see, will it happen? I don't know. I'll hang up, gentlemen. Thanks.
All right, Randy. Thanks for the call. He's right. The government throws around those numbers like everybody just goes, oh, $1 trillion.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I get it. And at the end of the day, if they say, well, we'll just print more money, it's like, well, that doesn't really solve the problem, just printing more money or going farther into debt. It
yeah.
makes no sense to me, and I don't know answer is.
It was, it was Senator Everett McKinley Dirksen, back in, I think, the 50s or 60s, and he was talking about government spending, and he was the first one to say this. He said, you know, a billion here, a billion there, and pretty soon you're talking
yes.
about some big money.
Real money, exactly. Now you're talking about some real money.
And the guy I was trying to think of was Antoine Walker. He played,
yes.
He went to Kentucky, played mm-hmm. basketball, played in the NBA for many
mm-hmm.
years,
mm-hmm.
ended up his last 2 years playing for the Idaho Stampede, basically to make a living.
Yes.
And he was a terrific guy. I mean, I really enjoyed him. I used to work for the Stampede. And he was a great guy, but he had made in his career, now obviously taxes come out of this and
yes.
whatnot, but he had made $114 million and didn't have any of it left. Now, he did party a lot, let's put it that way.
He also had a lot of failed business ventures
yeah, that's
that
true.
Cousins and uncles and aunts came to him and said, hey, I'm thinking
yeah.
of starting up this
well,
business.
Well, and that was the same thing, you know, it was, MC Hammer.
Yes.
MC Hammer basically decided that since he had made so much money, he was going to take care of his whole neighborhood.
Yep.
That got expensive.
Exactly.
And he had to declare bankruptcy as well.
Yep. And that'll happen. So you got to be smart with your money, whether you have $1,000 or $114 million.
Yeah.
You just got to be smart with your money. It's as simple as that. All right, that's today's show. Thank you very much for listening. Tomorrow morning, the mayor will be here from 8:30 to 9, and then open phones Friday from 9 o'clock on. So call us. We'll answer all and every question correctly because Chris knows everything, and I just go to the callers. A lot of pressure on you for tomorrow's
show. Were you waiting for me to say that's not true?
Nope, I wasn't because I know it's true. National news comes up next, local news, and then Rush Limbaugh on 670 KBOI.